Hello, my friends, and welcome back for this week's episode of the Practical Parsha podcast. I hope you are well, and we're back at it. I know it's Friday afternoon for those of you who are waiting before Shabbos to hear this podcast. So I decided to still do it anyways. I didn't want to miss a week of the Practical Parsha podcast. I hope you catch this before Shabbos or even after Shabbos because the Parsha never expires. And in fact, it's brought down that the next week until Tuesday is attached to the previous Shabbos. And then from Wednesday on, it's connected to the Shabbos that is upcoming. So I hope you enjoy this podcast. And before we begin, as always, if you have any questions, comments, or just would like to reach out to say hello, please feel free to send me an email, rabbishlomokohn, KOHN, @gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. And also, before we begin, this week's podcast should be a merit for a complete recovery for Shmuel Yaakov ben Etta Zlata. He should be gesund. He should be healthy. And this, the Torah learned in this podcast, should be a merit for his quick recovery. This week's parsha is Parshas Ve'eschanon. And we are into the book of Devarim right now. And Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, is continuing his speech to the Jewish nation. And throughout the book of Devarim, the message is a message of strength, is a message of inspiration, is a reminder of the mistakes that the Jewish people made, as well as new mitzvos and commandments that the Jews are going to need going into the land of Israel. And Parshas Ve'eschanon is no different. It's a mix of this general message of part of the book of Devarim. The parsha begins with Ve'eschanon, these prayers that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to Hashem. He asked Hashem to let him into the land of Israel. As we know, that since Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, he was punished to not be allowed to go into the land of Israel. Joshua was going to take him over. And this week's parsha, he prays to Hashem, or he talks about his experience of praying to Hashem, and Hashem told him to stop praying. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit, maybe a little bit later on. But the parsha continues with Moshe Rabbeinu giving inspiration to the nation and, you know, telling them their mistakes and where they went wrong. And additionally, the parsha tells us a prophecy in the future where the Jewish people perhaps are going to make a mistake and maybe get too comfortable and to forget about Hashem. And he gives them warnings and tells them, hopefully, how to stay on the straight and the narrow. The parsha continues with the mitzvah of setting aside the cities of refuge, the Ari Miklat, for someone who kills inadvertently. They would have to run to the cities of refuge for protection until the death of the Kohen Gadol. In this week's parsha, we also speak about the Ten Commandments, that the Ten Commandments are reiterated again to the Jewish nation. And actually, there's a lot of commentary that explain the two times that it's mentioned in this week's parsha and previously when the Torah was given to the Jewish nation, that there are a few nuances in the differences between the two places. Not that it's different commandment, but how they are listed to the Jewish nation. And maybe we'll get into that in a different episode. Finally, the parsha finishes off with the Shema prayer that we know we say every day, Shema Yisrael, that this prayer that's probably the most known prayer to the Jewish people, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, Hashem is your God, Hashem is one and only. And the first parsha, the first paragraph of the Ahavta. Finally, the parsha finishes off with Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Jewish nation to not succumb to prosperity, to keep their trust in Hashem, and how integral it is to teach the tradition, to teach it over to the children, that whatever we have, the Torah, the mitzvos, to give over that legacy to our children, to pass it on for eternity. The first idea I wanted to share with you today takes us to the beginning of the parsha. And the first verse in this week's parsha, Ve'eschanon, is as follows. Ve'eschanan el Hashem be'esa hi le'mor. I implored Hashem at that time, saying, right? Adoni Hashem ato hachilois liroys es avdecha es gadlocha ves yodcha chazaka she miel bashamayim varetz ashiyasa kamasecha kfurasecha. Ebronov eres aoretz hatoiv asher beiv ayardin ahar hatoiv hazeh vehaalivanon. I implored Hashem at that time, saying, "My Lord Hashem Elokim, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand, for what power is there in the heaven or on the earth that can perform according to your deeds and according to your mighty acts? Let me now cross and see the good land that is on the other side of the Jordan, this good mountain and the Lebanon." The sages tell us that the numerical value of the word v'eschanon is 515. And it's brought down that Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, prayed 515 prayers to be, you know, to be able to enter into the land of Israel. That he asked Hashem 515 times to be able to go in and to see the land of Israel, to be there. And eventually, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to stop praying. And it's actually interesting because the commentaries tell us that Hashem commanded Moshe to stop because if he would have continued praying, Hashem would have had to, you know, had to acquiesce to his prayers, his davening, and let him into the land of Israel. And he couldn't do that for the ultimate plan of the Jewish people because that's what Hashem wanted, and Moshe Rabbeinu stopped praying. But think about this situation for a second. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you hit the rock. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu was on a tremendously high level that for him hitting the rock was inappropriate, and thus he was not able to enter into the land of Israel with the rest of the Jewish nation. He had to stay back and pass away in the desert. But think about it for a second. Hashem says no. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't go into the land of Israel. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He prays. He says, Hashem, please let me in. And what does Hashem say? No. And what does he do? He prays again. What does Hashem say? No. He does this 515 times until finally when Hashem says, stop davening. Don't daven anymore because if you continue davening, I'm going to have to listen to you, right? It seems that, right, that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have continued, he would have gotten his wish. We see a very powerful lesson here that, you know, when it comes to persistence. You know, there's many great quotes out there about failure and success. You know, that every time you get a rejection, you're one step closer to success. And really, if you speak to people who are successful in the business world, obviously there's siyata dishmaya, they get a certain help from heaven. But you got to put effort into things. You have to do your part. And I think from this week's parsha, we see a very powerful lesson when it comes to persistence, to not giving up. I think us as human beings, naturally, we are lazy. Naturally, we just have this inertia of staying in the same place, of not doing anything. And we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu to be persistent. And it's not just in our careers, in the things that we want to accomplish, I don't know, you know, whatever it is, whatever we want to do. But it's especially important when it comes to spiritual endeavors. For the spiritual goals we want to reach in our lives, we shouldn't give up. We have to be persistent. We have to keep pushing. And when it comes to spiritual matters, we have to know that if we keep pushing enough, we're going to be successful. You know, maybe in the business world, there are people that are not every single person is successful, even if they persist. But when it comes to matters of spirituality, if you keep pushing and you are persistent and you don't give up, you will be successful, God willing. And this is something we can learn from children. Think about it. A child wants a candy and they ask the parent for the candy. The parent says no. And the child asks again. The parent says no. The child asks again. And they keep doing it till they eventually wear down the parent. And the child gets what he wants. And I think we need to take that lesson over here. We see it in this week's Parsha about the persistence and the not giving up that Moshe Rabbeinu had. I know it's not easy sometimes when we don't see the success we want to right away. But in life, Like I've mentioned many times, it's our job to try, to do our best, to put the effort in, to keep getting up and keep fighting, to keep going. And when it comes to spirituality, we need to know that we're going to have success, God willing, if we keep pushing and we keep doing it. Just to get personal for a minute, I've talked about in the past how, you know, having a podcast is not always the easiest thing to do. It's not necessarily so easy to continue to do something every single week. And especially it could be challenging when, you know, you're doing something and I'm just taking my thoughts, the ideas of Torah ideas and putting it out there. And especially in the beginning, you know, you don't know where it's going, where your words are going. You don't know if it's having any effect. Sure, you see some downloads, you know, in the beginning for sure it's not a lot. And even now, you know, not tons of downloads. Thank God I've grown and I get a lot of satisfaction in the things that I'm doing right now, especially in the podcast and the people who have reached out to tell me how much they enjoy it and the relationships that have been built. But in the beginning, it was very challenging. It was very challenging to keep pushing. And I have to give credit to my wife. She should be blessed that she always pushed me to keep going. You got to keep doing it. You got to keep doing it. And even right now, you know, it's a Friday afternoon. And my wife could certainly use my help at the house. And it's really, she pushes me to get out the door. She's like, people want to hear you. People want to hear what you have to say. They're waiting for that Torah shir, that perspective on the parsha. So that's why I always encourage you guys to reach out. Maybe this will push some more of you to say hello. I always love getting the feedback. But the point is, the lesson here is that we have to be persistent. Don't just give up. Let's learn from Moshe Rabbeinu that ve'eschanan el Hashem 515 times till he was told to stop. Because Hashem would have had to give in to him. Very powerful lesson from this week's Parsha. Second idea I want to share with you takes us to the Shema. So this week's Parsha has probably the most famous prayer that every Jew should know, hopefully knows. You know, our Jewish people were saying Shema Yisrael for generations, going to the gas chamber, being killed by the Crusaders. It's something which is an essence of the Jewish people. Now, we can get into the meaning of the Shema and the reason why we're so connected to it. You know, this idea that we're saying that Hashem is one and he's involved in our lives. It's not like he's just created the world and put us on autopilot. And it's become essential. This phrase, not the phrase, God forbid, this pasuk, this verse in the Torah of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you know, is attesting to the fact that Hashem is one and he's in charge of the world. He's actively involved in our lives. And additionally, this week's Parsha has the first of the three paragraphs of Shema, the V'ahavta. V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levecha b'chol nafshecha b'chol ma'odecha. You shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your resources. That is the first verse of the first paragraph of Shema. And if you look at that verse for a moment, it's a very interesting commandment. You shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your resources. So on a simple understanding, this is the commandment for a Jew to love Hashem, right? Number one, to love him that he's willing to give up his life for him, and love him enough that he's going to give up all his money for him. Now, the first question that we could think about when it comes to this commandment is, how do you have a commandment to love someone? You know, how could emotions be legislated in the Torah? How do you, you know, if I tell you there's a commandment you have to love this podcast. I can't force that. You know, sure, I would love everyone to love this podcast, but I can't force that. I can't force you to love this podcast. You know, you can't force two people to love each other. You can't, it doesn't work like that. Humans, we have emotions, we have feelings. There's relationships that need to be built, right? So how do we have a commandment in the Torah that we have to love Hashem? Well, it seems like something which is out of reach. It's not possible. How do we do that? How does God, you know, make a commandment like that? We know that the Torah, you know, God's not coming to get us. Meaning he's not out to trick us. And the commandments that we have are all doable for each and every one of us. We all have the ability to do the mitzvos. So how do we understand this commandment? You shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your resources. And it's not just, a love, like the word love is used very lightly these days. You know, it's people throw that word around, and almost doesn't mean anything. But it's very clear from the pasuk, from the verse, that you have to love Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your resources, enough that you have to give up your life for Hashem. You know, that it's, you believe in Him so much and you love Him so much that you're willing to give up your life for Him. It's a real love. So how do you have that, how could we be commanded to do that? And this is a famous question. There's different answers that are given. And I want to just talk today a little bit, maybe about a few of them, to help us give us a little bit of a perspective on this commandment. And maybe when we say Shema, we could have a better understanding and a more of a connection to the prayer that we're going to say. And actually, it's important to note that when we say the Shema prayer, there's a commandment to say Shema twice a day, during, in the morning and at the night. And most other prayers, if you say it in Hebrew, you don't have to understand what you're saying to fulfill the requirement. And obviously, sure, you should, try to understand what you're saying. That's what you want to do. But the way that the sages set up the prayers, that they knew that they were doing, they knew which buttons they were pressing and when certain words were said, and you don't have to understand it to fulfill your requirement. But when it comes to Shema, you have to understand what you're saying, at least for the first verse. So Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We talked about that a little bit, that we're declaring that Hashem is one. He's in charge of the universe. He's the master of all. And just to give us a little bit of insight into V'ahavta, the first paragraph of Shema, talking about this first verse in the pasuk is loving Hashem. So how do we develop that? How can we be commanded to do that? So the first answer I saw, it's brought down that from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov says that when one acts with Ahavas Yisrael, he has love for his fellow Jew, the automatic result will be Ahavas Hashem, will be love of God. So if a person acts with love to his brothers and sisters, it creates a natural love for his Father in heaven. That's one answer. A second answer I saw, which is also a very beautiful answer, is that the Talmud in Yuma tells us is that you shall make, the word v'ahavta means you shall make God's name beloved by others. That means that what the commandment, and I think it just ties in, I'll take it a step further also, is that at first, on a surface level, the commandment of loving Hashem is making that His name is loved. Is that when we act properly, and we act how we're supposed to act, and we follow the Torah, and when people look at us and say, wow, look what the Torah does to a person. Look at the nation of Israel. Look at the Jewish people. Look how they act. You make Hashem's name beloved. That this is a Kiddush Hashem. That is fulfilling the commandment. And I want to add on one more point to this, which is another answer, and I think it ties in to this second answer. The third answer could tie into the second answer as well. That there's, according to one of the other commentaries, the understanding to this question is, maybe we can understand it from the words of King Solomon. Shlomo HaMelech says, King Solomon says, just as the water reflects one's image, so does the heart of a person reflect the heart of another person. Meaning to say is, the way you look at others is the way people are looking at you, right? So just like water reflects the image of one who's looking at it. So if you are deal with people in a pleasant way and you're good with people and you treat people well, people will look back at you in that good and positive light, treat you well, and so on and so forth. So the it's brought down that we know that the blessings of Shema, that there's in the morning prayer, we don't just say Shema. We have the blessings of Shema, which sort of are like an introduction to the Shema. It's connected, but there's these special blessings that precede the Shema. And those blessings talk about the love that Hashem has for the Jewish people. And because God has such an intense love for us, we have such an intense love back for Him. So you're going to ask me right away, what do you mean? I don't necessarily feel that love for God. If God loves me, but I don't feel it. I don't feel that Hashem loves me. If you're telling me this fact, Rabbi Cohen, you're telling me that God loves me, but I don't feel like that I love Him back, right? Maybe you'll tell that to me. That's a valid question. And the commentaries tell us that when King Shlomo tells us this message of how water reflects a person, so too, that's how we look back at them. This message is that water works differently. The reflection in water works differently than a mirror. When a person looks in a mirror, you get the reflection of yourself even when you're at a distance. But with water, the only way you could see yourself back in the water is if you look closely. You have to get close to the water. And then you could see your reflection back from the water of yourself. And the lesson here is that we know Hashem does have this intense love for the Jewish people and each and every one of us. But if we're not close to the water, if we're not trying to get close to Him, so then we're not going to see that love and therefore not feel the reciprocal love back to Him. And obviously, the message here is that the more we do, right? The more we do, the more we bring godliness into our life, the more Torah we learn, the more mitzvos we do, the closer to the water we're getting, the closer to Hashem we're getting, the more we see the love that Hashem has for us and we'll feel love back for Him. And I want to say as well, this takes us to this the connection to the second answer which I gave before, that when we make the name of Hashem beloved to others by doing the right thing, I believe it's the same thing as well. Because when we do what we're supposed to do, automatically, when you make other people, you know, feel good about the Jewish nation, about the Torah, and they have positive feelings towards Hashem, you're gonna feel that love to God, and you're gonna feel proud of what you're doing, and you're gonna feel that inner satisfaction in yourself. And I believe that's a level of avas Hashem, of loving God. And I think this is a very important, these ideas are very important for us to internalize, especially being that this is a prayer that we say every single day, to know what we're saying, that Hashem's in charge of the world, He's one, He's all-powerful. And when we say this first verse of Shema, to know that the way we develop that love of Hashem is by getting close to the water, is by making His name known to others. And when we do that, when we know that, we're going to feel the love back to Hashem as well. So with that, I'm going to finish for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to reach out, please feel free to send me an email at rabbishlomokohen@gmail.com. Have a great day.